see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
Hello. Oh my God, did you hear that? Someone just answered me back. That was not me. That second hello was not me. That was weird. Well, I'm just going to move on. It's the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. I Seem Fun. What's it called? I Seem Fun. The Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast episode. Who knows? 12 or 13. What's up, you guys? London. London calling. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. Blah, 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 blah. Ba-da-ba-da-doo. Yap-ba-da-da-dee. That would be if Paul McCartney was in The Clash. That would be like, London calling. And then it'd be like, yap-ba-da-da-dee. You just add something like that in the middle of it. I am coming to London, and why is my home phone ringing? What is happening? You remember last time I did the podcast, my cell phone was ringing. Now my home phone is ringing. Only one person has this number, and it's the president. it's going to be a wrong number because I moved into a new place a couple months ago. So I'm sure this number, belonged to some drug dealer before me. I'm saying it like I'm on drug dealer too. Some drug dealer before it became my phone number, the phone number of a author, writer, comedian. What was I saying? I'm coming to London, September 23rd to 28th. Oh, first of all, I am in bed because you just heard me get out of it. In bed, recording my podcast. The podcast where, if you're just starting at this episode, where I lay in bed and talk off the top of my head, with maybe a topic in mind. There are no co-hosts. There are no guests. There is no point, and it's supposed to be silly and fun. If it is not fun for you, then you are not an I Seem Funner. Okay. London, September 23rd through the 28th. That means shows the 23rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. At the Soho Theater downstairs. Come to Bockley-Boo in Germany. No, not doing a European tour. I have 1 week off of work before the end of our season. I am spending that week off flying to another country, performing, flying back, and then going right to work the next morning. So listen to me. If you live anywhere near London, oh, I don't want to get in the carriage tube for an hour, or whatever you do. Do it, because I'm flying, I think, 11 hours. It's actually 10 and a half. I'm flying 11 hours by myself. I mean, not like I'm on a plane like Amelia Earhart. I mean, there will be pilots and stewardesses and flight attendants and other passengers. But this is my first time I have ever flown internationally by myself. This is such a big deal for me, a former anxious person who is slowly doing new things in life, have a baby. No, that, what am I saying? I can't even talk. My point is, it's such a big deal for me that I hope you would take your hour ride from whatever county, country you're coming in from, instead of telling me to then go on a tour somewhere else where it just is not financially makes any sense. I don't have the time, nor do I have the fan base. London is pretty easy to assume. People know who I am there. They know my friends. Some TV shows I'm on air there. My podcast is broadcast in London every Friday night over the speakers at Big Ben. There are speakers there. And my book is available in England. So it makes sense for me to go there. I'm sorry I can't come to Bulgaria and Timbuktu and everything else. But tickets for these shows are available now. On my website, jenkirkman.com, go to tour dates. And you will find the link of where to buy tickets for London. I will be humiliated if I get there. And there's 20 people every night. I think the theater holds like 150 people. So whatever 6 times 150 is, 900. God, I did that fast. I don't think it is. Who cares? You know what I'm saying. Or is there not a little under 1,000 people in England that know who I am and in the surrounding areas? Come on, come out. I can't go. Can you come back next year? No. Anyway. Well, that's the podcast for this week. Thanks for listening. That's a fun joke, huh? I don't know what I want to talk about. Well, first of all, I have a correction from my mother. My mother listens to the podcast. She never says, oh, hey, I listened, or it just, I'll get some kind of reference to it. So, oh no, she actually did. Okay. So a couple episodes ago, somebody in their email to me, you can email iseemfun@gmail.com and tell me what you think is fun that other people don't, or things that you don't think are fun that other people do. And someone had written me that they don't like three-ring circuses because it scares them. And I had said, I actually know the expression three-ring circus, but I'm not quite sure what one is. Is it three people on rings? I wasn't really asking. You know how I always say, don't email me. But I mentioned that I enjoyed Cirque du Soleil. So my mom emailed me. Hi, Jen. Listen to your podcast while torrential rain's happening outside. I wonder if that enhances it at all. Heard your comment about Cirque du Soleil and accidents. Last year, Dad and I went to see Zumanity at MGM Vegas. Just recently heard on the news that one of the people fell to his death while performing in front of a huge audience. Everyone thought it was part of the act and that he had a safety net until they stopped the show. It is a very vigorous show where there is swinging on ropes and dangling in the air. Much more than the Beatles' Cirque was. How scary and sad. Just one of my corrections. Love and hugs, Mom. That's very cute. So she's on to the correction thing. She knows, don't email me. But it's my mother. She can email me. Don't you people start emailing my mother and having her send me corrections. But okay, well, that is scary. When I first read the email, I thought she was at that show. But she saw that show and then referenced that at another time, somebody fell to their death. Well, I hope he died doing what he loved. I hope he wasn't secretly like, I work at 7-Eleven and that's my dream, but it doesn't pay enough, so I have to do Cirque du Soleil on the side. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. It's just, I always lose my voice after I come back from performing. It's dehydration, airplanes, change of climate. I was just at the Montreal Comedy Festival, and I don't like podcasts that comedians have that's like too much all about comedy, because I know that people who aren't like comedy obsessed might listen to this. But I will say it ties into a lot of things that happen in life, and it's one of those things where for comedians, back in the day, if you got into the Montreal Comedy Festival, sometimes if you were in this certain part of the festival called New Faces, it was for all the agents and managers and TV executives and people who live in LA to all come up to Montreal, and comics from all over the country and sometimes the world, Australia, blah, blah, would perform. You do 5 minutes, you get off stage. You used to get like a handshake of a deal for like six figures, and they'd be like, you can develop a sitcom idea for us. But nobody has any money anymore, and that doesn't happen. What usually happens is a lot of the TV industry and managers and agents go, and they party, and they support their clients, and everyone just talks and makes a big buzz about everything. But no one's really, like, the stuff that you make happen for yourself is what you do when you're back in your respective hometown of comedy doing your whatever you do. But then everyone who's not in Montreal feels bad that they're not there, and everyone there is like, this isn't really, like, I don't really know what's happening right now. Like, maybe something happened and people were talking about me, but I won't know. Sorry. Anyway, that is not to disparage the festival. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to go. But there was this, like, they put all the comics in this one hotel. And at the bar every night, you just hang out. And they keep it open until, like, 3 a.m. And people just drink and all that stuff. Now, of course, me, I don't like to drink on the road that much. Like, for me, I just get such bad hangovers. And then I feel like it screws up your immune system. And then you're craving crappy food. And then you feel tired. And you have shows to do. And you're hungover. And you're not at your best. And then you get back on a plane after having not slept for 3 days. And for me, that makes me really nauseous and anxious. Then I have to go back to work Monday. It's like I take like, I'm like at a sauna when I go on the road, which is the opposite for most people. But I was at the gym every day for an hour. I was eating well. I took some steams. And, you know, I had one night where I stayed out a little late, but I just sat with like five people talking. It wasn't like, woo! But the nights that people saw me go off to my room, they're like, oh my God, are you kidding me? The drinks are free tonight. I'm like, honey, I'm 39. I can buy a drink if I want. Like, sure, would I rather have a free drink than pay for one? I guess I would, but I always get weirded out by my peers. Where I'm like, you guys, you look like dogs, like fighting over scraps. Like, you can have a drink anytime you want. You can have one Wednesday when you're not at the festival. You can go on a date some night. I mean, I don't save up my party for a weekend where I'm supposed to be working and have to preserve my strength and energy. But, oh, you know, I was made fun of. Oh, you're not partying. And it's not even like people are like, oh, here's some drugs. Why won't you do them? I don't even mean that. They're literally just like, why are you going to sleep? I'm like, well, it's 1 a.m. and I have to get up at 5 for a flight. So just stay up all night. What would that do? Let me get 4 hours sleep. I'll get 6 more on the plane. I'll be back in L.A. by 11 a.m. on Sunday. And then I have my whole day and night to do actual fun stuff that doesn't involve sitting and looking at the same comedians I always see. Is that a terrible thing to say? I just feel like my life, I have a secret fun in my life. And when people don't see me doing the fun that they're doing, they're like, oh my God, you're no fun. But I'm like, I am fun. I was fun Tuesday through Thursday. And that's why this weekend I'm just staying calm. I guess what I have to start doing is just go up to my room. And when people go, you coming back down? Yeah, yeah, see you there. And just, you know, they never know. Anyway, it was a wonderful festival. I got to perform on a show with Joan Rivers. And that was very exciting for me. I've always admired her. And I loved her book about starting out in stand-up called Enter Talking. And I was assigned to be on this, what they call a gala with her. It's about a 3,000 seat audience theater with 3,000 people in it. And it was televised. It's going to air in Australia and I think New Zealand and Canada. So in London. So, but what was exciting about it was she hosted it. So she introduces each comic. So to be introduced by someone that, you know, is like, I think she's been doing stand-up the longest of any woman ever. And to have her say my name was just very exciting for me. And she was very sweet. And we had met a couple weeks ago. And she continued to be very sweet. And I feel like she's edgy in a way that is, she's allowed to be. But the audience, I think, kind of turned on me because of her intro. It's not her fault. But she said, this next woman hates children as much as I do. She's the Casey Anthony of comedy, Jen Kirkman. And I'm like, oh man, she just referenced a woman who got off on murdering, allegedly, her kid. And then I think the audience was like, wait, is she? Because like they laughed hysterically when she said that. And then I came out and I feel like they were like, oh. But I do want to do one thing. And I know this is kind of petty. And don't give me, fuck the haters. This isn't the haters. When I do something for a living, I will not have it be misunderstood and have someone, quote, report on it. You know, my idol, Howard Stern, does stuff like this sometimes. And I always understand his point of view, too, because when people work hard and they have a thing, I'll explain it. So this guy reviewed my set on the Joan Rivers Gala. Of course, I was nervous coming out on stage. There's 3,000 people. It was all Joan's fans. I'm being taped for television. I have to stick to a certain amount of time. I can't forget anything. I can't stumble. But I didn't, because I'm a fucking professional. And I've been doing stand-up for 16 years, which is just the beginning of the status where you can brag about how long you've been doing it. Like, my friends that have been doing it longer, I'm embarrassed to be like, 16 years. But it's enough time that you know what you're doing. If you're doing, it doesn't mean you always know what you're doing, but if you're doing a 7-minute set for television, every single word you are saying has been wildly rehearsed over and over in front of audiences, and you are in complete control of it, unless you're an idiot. And now I can't find it because I think I blocked this guy on Twitter, so I can't find it. But this guy did a review of my show. Hang on, let me find it. Hang on. Just talk amongst yourselves. This guy that reviewed my show, that reviewed my set at the Joan Rivers Gala, has Groucho Marx glasses and mustache and nose for his Twitter avatar. So you know he's hilarious and a comedy expertise. Okay. So I had a very good set on Joan's show. It's for a website called chortle.co.uk. Okay. I do have to come to the UK. I hope this guy doesn't hate me. Jen Kirkman started out on shaky ground. Unfucking true. I came out in high heels, a fucking all leather outfit. I came out, I bowed to Joan, I threw her a kiss, I said, she's fucking awesome. How shaky is that? I'm sorry, Joan Rivers introduces me because she let me be on her gala. I come out and she waves and wishes me luck. I'm sorry, sir. Did that ever happen to you? No, it fucking didn't, and it never will, because you're not funny. You write about comedy. I came out not shaky at all. Looked great. Comedy legend waves at me. I wave back. No big deal. We were both doing the same thing in that same moment. And I start my act. The act I did on Conan and had a wonderful set. And Conan walked me back to his desk and said, God, you're funny. Please come back soon. A set that I've been doing on the road as part of my 1-hour show for my book tour. 2 nothing but great laughs. How could I have been shaky? There was no way anyone could detect that I might have been nervous before I went out on stage. You always feel that way. And then the minute you walk out there, you have worked too long and too hard to let nerves get in your way. I was not shaky. He says, if you have to spend more time explaining why the accent you've adopted isn't racist than actually doing the voice, it might be time to rethink. That's my joke, you fucking moron. I have a joke about going through security at the airport and an African-American woman who is the TSA agent pulled me aside because my hair extension set off the alarm. And it's a bit about the way she talked to me, and she explained to me the difference between when white women with weaves and when black women with weaves come through the machine. It was her analogies, not mine. I imitated her voice because she had a spectacular way of talking. But I understand that it could be perceived by audiences who are stupid as me being racist. So to make an extra joke on top of a joke, I interrupt myself. And I guess that's how good of an actor I am, that he actually thought. So I come out and I go, this woman said this. Okay. And I go into a voice. And then I go, I know it seems like I've offended some of you people. Let me explain something. Sometimes black people sound like this, and I do different voices that don't sound stereotypically black. And I go, but this woman just sounded like this, not because she's black, but because she's this woman. The examples I give are funny. They are carefully constructed. They are each a punchline in and of themselves. And then I go back to the bit that I'm not even going back to because it's all a bit. It is all word for word memorized, made to look like it's happening in the moment, which is what stand-up comedy fucking is. If he's so stupid then he believed me. Then I must be a really good actor, or I must have been doing my job. But then he took it seriously. Oh, I noticed something here. Who on God's earth would come out, say one joke, and then start apologizing to the audience and explaining what they were doing? A horrible comedian. He couldn't tell that that was part of the bit. It's like when Joan Rivers does this thing, she goes, and I'm going to get to the act in a minute, but before I do, I just want to say, and then she says some jokes that are supposed to seem spontaneous. And it doesn't matter if they are or aren't, they are funny. It is a thing comedians do. They act a little bit up there. So anyway, he says that. But she has very entertaining tales. But I just hate that because someone reads that and they don't know me. Oh my God, she started on shaky ground. It's fucking false. And I have no way, chortle.co.uk, Steve Bennett in Montreal, I have no way to talk back to Steve Bennett except through here. And people are going to go, keep doing what you do. Of course I'm keeping doing what I'm doing. But I'm saying this guy is wrong. He's wrong about what happened. He didn't say it wasn't funny. He's giving me suggestions. Might be time to rethink. You rethink. You write for a website, darling. Reviewing comedy. What kind of thing is that? How do you even review comedy? And first of all, let me explain to this fuck that it's not fair when your false interpretation of what someone is like just gets to be printed. It's fucking annoying because it's what I do. And it's who I am. So then he writes, but she has very entertaining tales of being a cougar and just how young her prey was. I do a bit about how I went on one date 2 years ago after my early days of divorce with a young guy. I jokingly say, I thought I was going to be a cougar. It's a joke. And I talk about how ridiculous it was to be out with someone 16 years younger than me. It looks good on paper. It looks good sitting there behind his little drum kit. It makes no sense and you have nothing to talk about. That's what the bit is about. I am not a cougar, but the way he writes this, now it's like, she's a cougar. No, I'm not. That was the point of the bit, where I end it by saying, I'm way too old for this shit and I never did it again. That's not a cougar. This guy has serious listening comprehension. Maybe he was so busy, better get notes down for my website job. So then he writes, and her pointed jabs at children and the women who had them are as funny as they are mean. Oh, I'm glad he thinks that's funny. Mean? I did 3 jokes, none of them about children, all of them about me. My first joke was I never had the urge to ruin my life. That's not about any children in specific. It's the concept of taking care of something. I said sarcastically, I know I seem so maternal. That's not even about anything. Then I said, people who say to me, you'll change your mind. And I say to them, that's rude. I don't go up to pregnant women and say, you'll change your mind. Have you seen or heard any jokes about children so far? And I don't make fun of the women who have them. I make fun of people who tell me I'm going to change my mind about having kids. And the people who do are not people who have children. They're just anybody. So this guy is patently false on every single thing he wrote about me. And I know I'm angry, but I'm sick of that shit. I'm sick of people who review comedy. Get a fucking real job. And maybe you do have a real job and I don't know about it. Ooh, see what I just did? I took something that you do and I ripped it apart and then assumed who you were. You don't like it, do you? Whatever your name is that I can't remember because you're nobody. Steve Bennett. Steve Bennett. Chortle.co.uk. I tweeted back at him and told him he was wrong. He didn't write back. Otherwise, I had a great time. I got to upgrade to first class on my flight down to Montreal. That was fun. My old pal and podcaster, Mark Maron, was on the flight. I've known him since I started doing comedy in New York. He'd already been doing it, of course, a lot longer than me. I was looked up to him. And we are sort of pals, the way that everyone in comedy is sort of pals. But I think he looks at me like an annoying little sister and also like just someone who's annoying. Because I fell asleep during the food and I woke up and I tapped him on the shoulder and said, did I dream it or was the lady bringing out ice cream and I couldn't open my eyes? And he said, there was ice cream. And I'm like, oh, I want some. And he's like, I think he was just like, you're going to keep sitting there wanting some. So he just got up, walked to the front of the plane. And if you know him or of his persona, this is funny. He just opens the curtain and goes, we doing ice cream still? And then I hear some negotiation. He comes back. He goes, it's coming. And it was very sweet. It was the most aggressive way anyone has ever gotten me ice cream in my life. Anyway, that was 24 minutes of being angry. I'm sorry, but that shit pisses me off. Should I sing something? Oh. I'm just looking at Twitter. Somebody just wrote, oh, Jen Kirkman seems to have gotten herself a new face. I eat obsessively well. I barely eat gluten. I don't eat sweets. I eat very little, but I eat a normal amount of calories a day, not starvation, but I eat exactly enough to maintain a weight. I work out almost every day. I do acupuncture. I do juice cleanses often. I don't drink soda. I don't smoke. I don't eat sweets. Drink in very much moderation and don't do any drugs. And I try to get 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night. My family looks very young. I get facials. I use creams. I have never had anything done to my face. Not a Botox. Not anything. I didn't get a new face. They put makeup on me on TV. Is this the most obnoxious podcast? I'm just so sick of comments and things that people think. Sometimes when you take care of yourself, it shows. And I have all these people shoving food in their face, drinking, having kids, going, why do you look so young? Because I'm doing the opposite of what you're doing. It takes hard work to look young. And I work that hard. But you know what? All I get out of it is people accusing me of getting plastic surgery or starving myself. So maybe it's not worth it. The one errant compliment I get once in a while makes me feel good. Okay. So what I wanted to talk about today was hotels, because I stay in hotels a lot and I'm wondering what I find so wonderful about them and if other people feel this way. I remember I put on Twitter once, I would love to live in a luxury hotel. And this model from Australia tweeted back at me, been there, done that, I'm over it. Well, I'm glad you're over it, honey. I think it sounds amazing. There's something about traveling that I love. Like, even though I love my apartment, and if you tried to come in here and say, I want one thing that you don't need, I would be like, no, I need everything. Like, I need that orange pillow on my chair. I need everything. But yet when I travel, I so easily get it down to the basics, right? The 5 pieces of makeup you need, the 1 moisturizer, the 3 outfits for 5 days. I can get it down to the basics so quickly. The 1 book, the iPad, we're off. And I love that feeling. I love walking into a hotel and not knowing. I always think like that's what it must be like for guys to see boobs for the first time. They're just like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to get. Yay. And sometimes you're just excited, I guess, that it's just something new. Like, I just love walking into a hotel room for the first time. I think it's so thrilling. I don't know what it is. It has all this promise of like, even though if you put a black light over everything, you would see like the sperm of people's sperm. But I just love that feeling. Like, what channels do they have? You know, is there a Seinfeld rerun on? Oh my God, there is stuff in the refrigerator. Oh, I love when they put little wine glasses out so I can have my water in a wine glass. There's so many little things about hotels I love, and it's that nice, cool temperature that I would never sleep in otherwise. Well, I guess that's all I have to say about hotels. No, I'm kidding. But we never stayed really in hotels growing up. I remember thinking one time growing up in Massachusetts in the winter, the power went out. And it was so cold, it would not have been responsible to sleep in the house. We don't have a fireplace or anything like that, which is very weird since our house was built in 1812, which I mentioned in a different episode. I don't know why we never had a fireplace. But I remember we went to, I mean, it was probably like a motel, a Sheraton, you know, just like the local town thing. Nothing fancy, you just stay there. My parents and I stayed in a room. And I remember we were watching TV and we were flipping through the channels. Or I think I was maybe taking a bath and I came out and my dad was watching DC Cab. Do you remember that movie? I think it was on HBO. And I just walked in like right at a scene where I think a lady just took her top off in the back seat. And I was like, oh! And I just saw nudity on TV in front of my dad. And I was like seven. And then he was like, oh! And then he changed the channels. But we never talked about it. Like, well, not that we were going to have a talk. That he was going to be like, Jennifer, those are breasts. And when you're a woman, they will come in and, you know, they will get sore during your period. And if you choose to have children, you could breastfeed someday. I mean, it's not like, what were we going to talk about? But it was just like, I immediately related that to hotels. Like weird, weird stuff happens in hotels. Even though nothing weird happened, my parents and I were watching TV. An image came on. They changed the channel. Everyone was fine. It was two beds. They slept in one. I slept in the other. Everyone was fine. But it was just like, wow. I just remember thinking, I was laying in bed that night and wondering, and I didn't have a lot of life experience. I didn't realize people stayed in hotels because we had never traveled anywhere yet. This was before my family and I ever went on a trip. So I really didn't know what a hotel was. You have to realize when you look back at your life and you go, whoa, the first time I did this, the first time I did that. The first time you stay in a hotel, if you're not on a vacation, I don't think many people's first time at a hotel is down the street from where they live. So it didn't dawn on me that anyone would be traveling from anywhere else to come stay at the Needham Sheraton. And it wasn't even because I thought there's nothing going on here. The reason you go to a hotel is to go to Tahiti. I wasn't even thinking. I just thought this is some kind of halfway place where people go who are in trouble. For us, our heat's off, the power's out. It's a blizzard. But in that moment, I was like, do adults come here to watch movies that have boobs in them? Because, you know, you remember the sign. Then I started noticing signs when we would drive places, free HBO. Every hotel said that, or motel. And I would be like, yeah, that's what adults do. They check into a room and they watch boobs because they don't want their kids to see it or their wife. Or maybe it's just like something you only do in a hotel. I don't know what you would do while watching boobs. You know, I hadn't gotten there yet in my head, but I was just thought that's what hotels were for. And to me, they had this sleazy connotation until I went away with my parents to Disney World and we would not stay in the theme park. This is when I was eight. We would not stay in the theme park. We would stay outside of it at the Radisson, about a mile down the road, which didn't bother me because there was a road called Kirkman Road. And I thought that was very exciting. And I would take pictures of it. Take pictures, mind you, and get them developed at CBS and wait a week to see what they came out like. Couldn't put a filter on it and throw it on Instagram right away. Had to take a picture and hope it worked. And back when I was young, you actually took pictures of things without getting in the picture with it. Like now you can't even go to any like hot girl's Instagram and it's like, there's Mount Rushmore. Me look, what? Oh, what? Is that me in a low cut top in front of it? What? Everyone is like looking hot in front of monuments. That's kind of what photography has come to. Not that me taking a picture of a street sign when I was eight was photography, but you know, taking a picture involved, oh, look at this thing. I'm going to take a picture of it. Not how do I sort of look hot in this, then get it up on social media immediately and make that guy jealous / interested in me, which he is not, ladies. He is not. He is not. I'm here to tell you he is not. I am not talking from experience. I'm talking from things I have seen. So don't write me, I think you're pretty. Who's this guy? I don't like to talk about my romantic life in public anymore. After I did a whole album on it when I was married, but I have sworn to secrecy my private life. And I think a lot of people assume there isn't one. I got a lot of pathetic offers recently for people who just have just unsolicited and been like, I feel bad that you're alone. And I'm like, I never said that. Anyway, my throat is getting tickly. So that's what I thought hotels were. So we started staying at the Radisson. Now later in life, I don't know if my parents made more money. I don't know what was happening, but a couple of years later, we would stay in the Magic Kingdom in this series of hotels that were supposed to look like all the Saint Islands, like Martinique, St. Martin, St. Thomas. And I loved it. There was a steel drum player in the lobby. Oh, I loved anything tropical. I even bought an inflatable palm tree, and then I bought a lamp that you can put sand in. You know, you like unscrew the lamp underneath the light bulb. I used to put sand and seashells in it, and I decorated my room. It looked like a tropical bar. It looked like I was going to serve you a rum and coke when you walked in my room. I just went full tropical at age 9. And I was just like listening to reggae, anything with steel drums, Harry Belafonte. It was like, I was just in love with that lifestyle. And I still am. I tell you right now, if everyone gave me a dollar and I need about a million of you, I will move to an island. Like a good one with, you know, cars and electricity and, you know, servants. Not like me with banging a coconut against a tree. So anyway, but we would stay at the Radisson during the lean years, I guess. Jennifer, we were not poor. It was a wonderful hotel. The other places, the monorail went right through. It was a ripoff. So we'd stay at the Radisson, and I didn't understand a few things back then. You know those lights in a bathroom that you turn on, and there's a timer, and they're like, zzz, you know? It's almost like when you cook. I don't cook, so I don't know what it's called. I think it's called the timer. You turn it on and it goes backwards and then it shuts off. There was a light like that in our bathroom at the Radisson. I used to lay under it because I thought it was a tanning light. I thought, well, we're in Florida. It must be a tanning light. So I would just lay on the rug on the bath mat thinking I was getting a tan. I guess my parents didn't know better either, or they were just like, let her lay on the bathroom floor. We'll have 10 minutes alone, you know? That was my first my other misconception was once I went to the pool area and then I saw another person there, I was like, what? Like, it didn't dawn on me that everyone shared the same pool. And then I would be in it, and I just remember this girl jumping in, and she was like, hi, what's your name? And I was like, really? Like, even then, I was like, really? We're just going to start talking because we're both 8 and in a pool. I'm swimming. I never get to swim. I'm from Boston in the winter. We don't have a pool. We don't even have a fireplace. I live on a golf course. There's a pond. Pond would be better for you. That's my Caddyshack quote. Oh, God, I was in love with Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego. Baby, why don't we off the Florida Keys? There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you want to go to get away from it all. I remember when that song would come on the car, I'd get embarrassed in front of my parents because I think there was one line that sounded sexual. And we'll perfect our chemistry. I knew that was creepy. I knew then that that was like a creepy thing to say. Like, it wasn't just creepy because I was a kid and I didn't understand what that meant. If someone said that to me now, like, hey, let's perfect our chemistry, I'd be like, ugh. But there was another lyric. Oh, yeah. Bodies in the sand, tropical drink melting in your hand. Something about bodies in the sand just made me feel like people were naked and had sand in their vaginas. Oh, this was it. And we'll perfect our chemistry. By and by, we'll defy a little bit of gravity. Ugh. I still don't really get exactly what that means. I mean, I do. Don't email me. People hang from things when they fuck. I know. Or whatever you're saying. But I didn't really know exactly what it meant. I wonder what he thought he meant when he sang that. But I was like, oh, bodies defying gravity. My parents are in the car. Come on, Beach Boys. Go back to surfing. Anyway, so I'm in the pool. This little girl swims up to me. She goes, hi, what's your name? I go, I'm Jen. She goes, I'm Jen too. I'm like, doesn't mean we have to be friends. And she's like, I love Van Halen. I hate Van Halen. And first of all, young girls out there, if you ever hang out with guys who are like, you don't like Van Halen, don't feel weird about it. They're those type of guys that don't realize that women have different tastes. So don't bother with them. You don't like Van Halen? Yeah, I'm not a dude at a video game parlor. So she wanted to talk. She's like, I love this song, Jump. And I was like, She loved that line where he goes, "Oh, how you doing, babe? How you been?" Or no, wait. Oh, wait. I'm going to find it. Because she thought it was so funny. And I remember being like, what does this girl think is funny about this? I guess I was always kind of an asshole. But at least I'm consistent. Jump lyrics. She was like, no. You don't like this part where he does this? It's so funny. I just remember her splashing around. She couldn't even be in a pool properly. She was just like, you know how like Pigpen from Charlie Brown always had dirt? She always had water splashing. Even when she was standing still, her energy was just too much for me. Oh, this part. She goes, go ahead, jump. Ow, hey you, who said that? Baby, how you been? She was like, it's so funny when he says that. I'm like, what is funny about that? He's just screaming things and then says, baby, how you been? There's not a joke there. She just liked the energy of it, I guess. Anyway, so that's my experience with hotels. I mean, I really don't know what my point was. I was just thinking about hotels when I was here this weekend and how much I love them. But I realized that not everyone travels a lot for work and they might be like, I don't really care. The one thing I hate is bed and breakfast. I hate it. I made the mistake of going on a romantic bed and breakfast trip with my fiance at the time, one time. And he was a very guilty person. Like, I got there and I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that the guy was making breakfast for us every morning with other couples. And I was like, I would just get my plate and go in the room. And my fiance would be like, we have to sit out here. And I'm like, no, we don't. We're grownups. We paid for this. But then it turns out we did have to sit out there. The guy would knock on the door and go, I don't want food in the rooms. So I'm like, what are you, my dad? And then we would go sit at the table with other couples. And then I feel like you're not in love if you go to a bed and breakfast. Like, you should be like, oh my God, we should not even be able to get out of bed because we can't even eat. Or like, all right, let's eat, but then let's, you know, go somewhere romantic, or let's order room service, or let's walk to the fruit stand or something. But when you can just like get, like, that's how you know your relationship might not be good, is when you can just like leave your bedroom and go sit with three other couples you don't know who are just sitting there in their weird straw hats and Hawaiian shirts, and they're just saying things like, well, and they have their little maps out, and they're like, now, have you guys been to the Plana Plana hiking trail? No, we haven't. Oh, well, we're going to try that. And everyone's in Tevas, and you're just like, ugh, stop talking to each other. You never met before. Did you fly there going, I hope I see someone with a big floppy straw hat that can bore me and talk about maps? If that, maybe that is your goal, and then you love a bed and breakfast. I did not. Anyway. Okay, let's read some emails. What seems fun? I'm sorry, you guys. Roller coasters. Hi, Jen. I love going to Disneyland, and I am a childless adult. That's not the weird part, though. The weird part is that I hate roller coasters. Oh, my God. I love Disneyland. I've been to the one in Florida, Disney World, 6 times, and the one in LA 6 times, as a grown-up. But when I had a very hot experience on, Peter Pan once. I just started dating someone when I first moved to LA, and we kind of made out on the ride. Hot stuff, you guys. Not safe for work. Not safe for the kids. Turn away, children. Hands are going down pants. Jennifer, why do you say things like that? Anyway, this woman, Michelle, writes, the weird part is that I hate roller coasters. When I was a kid, I used to get really car sick, and I still have motion sickness on planes and boats sometimes. Roller coasters are the worst. I am sick for the rest of the day, or at least have a headache, plus they terrify me. Sometimes I go to Disneyland or other theme parks with people who do not understand why I refuse to go on roller coasters. A few years ago, a friend made me go on one of the kiddie roller coasters in Toontown, and I almost cried. She also pressured me into going on a Ferris wheel with the swinging gondolas, and I screamed my damn head off because it felt like we were going to fall to our deaths. And rest in peace, the woman in Texas who actually did. Because you can on this stuff. I added that, not her. Love your podcast. See you in Austin. I already bought my ticket. Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, guys, I'm going to be in Austin September 14th. Go to my website for details. Yeah, I love Disneyland too, and people think I'm like a creep or something. I'm like, well, I'm not like Michael Jackson going there to like find my next boyfriend. I'm just, you know, I just think it's amazing. I don't like Disneyland as much. I like the Hall of Presidents. I will sit and watch fake Abraham Lincoln talk all day long. One of my favorite stories about Disneyland is right after Johnny Depp did Pirates of the Caribbean or Caribbean. Up next, is it Caribbean or Caribbean? You decide on Caribbean or Caribbean Hour. It's a very limited show. It's a 5-minute show on Sirius XM AM and sometimes Al Jazeera Network. That show just got canceled. Anyway, when Johnny Depp was in Pirates of the Caribbean, they made a character based on him for Disneyland. So the Jack Sparrow was one of the guys walking around. And that, I'm sorry, like, put enough eyeliner and scarves on a guy and he looks hot. If that's your thing. And I kind of like that kind of look. So put enough eyeliner and scarves on a guy and you think it's Johnny Depp because your sense memory, your muscle memory is telling you that it is. So they had to get rid, this is a true story, they had to get rid of that character. Because women were attacking him. Like women were just coming up and like humping his leg and like ripping his clothes off like he was Johnny Bravo. And if you don't get that reference, you don't get me. I took a friend to the Brady Bunch house a couple weeks ago. My friend was in town and I know he's a big fan of the Brady Bunch. I live sort of in the neighborhood of where the exterior shot for the Brady Bunch was filmed. And the house is a little different now, but you can still tell it still has that garage and it's pretty cool. So shout out to my friend, John, who saw the house with me. But we were taking pictures of each other, grown up people. Like, okay, let's park the car. Don't fuck this up. And just taking pictures really quick and then running away. And I'm like, what are the people going to do? They know they live at the Brady Bunch house. Are they going to yell at us? But I really wish I was that type of person. I have friends like this who are just like so brave. And like, I wish I could have knocked on the door, dressed like Davy Jones with a record in my hand and been like, is Masha here? And just recreated an episode. Or I could have been the guy. That, remember when Bobby Brady was obsessed with Jesse James and they had that psycho looking old guy come over who was like, Jesse James wasn't a hero. Jesse James killed my father. He was a mean, dirty killer. And then Bobby Brady had nightmares about Jesse James killing people. And then I had nightmares about that old man. That was the scariest episode of television that has ever fucking happened. I don't care what happens on any of these zombie shows. That old man sitting there in Bobby Brady's face, he was a mean, dirty killer, is the scariest thing. But I wish I had the balls to knock on the door of whoever lives at the Brady Bunch house and go, can I talk to your son, Bobby? It's about Jesse James. And just see what they say. Or say, is Marsha in the booster club in the backyard? We have a meeting. But I never will, you guys. I never will because I'm not that level of fun. Okay, this guy wrote me, Dear Jen Karkman, his name is Payman. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Since you mentioned that Persian dentist guy, I thought it's a good excuse to send this email. I'm a Persian from Iran. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. See, I'm not afraid of people from Iran, except the guy that runs the place. But otherwise, I have friends of all shapes and sizes and persuasions and Persian suasions. I think you're very funny, and I mean it in a good way. I don't see how I could take that in a bad way. See, there's no way I can make it less creepy when you come from where I come from, but this is fun. Oh, come on, Payman. I have no problem. His title is Iran, Persian. I think it's lovely, and I'm sorry that our countries, I don't know if you live there now, but I'm sorry that our countries are feuding, because I know that we are brothers and sisters, and that it is just your leaders. There's so many of these, I don't really know. this guy, Ken. Ken, you're in trouble with me. He corrected something. Not allowed. And see, some people are just using this to say weird shit. Oh, I like this woman. All right, Miranda. Are you Miranda from Sex and the City? My husband Jeff and I, oh, I guess not her husband Steve, have a thing called, quote, your fun is not my fun, unquote. For real. Its inception was when we played a show in October of 2007. We're bandmates also. Yes, we are that annoying. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. It's very Thurston and Kim. Rest in peace, their relationship. Well, I was going to say Kurt and Courtney. We're never in the same band. He wrote all her songs. Whatever, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so it was a Halloween show. I think it's great. I think it's cool to, if you work on the same thing together, and that I feel like that, then you know what, you have the same ideas in life. I think that's great. So it was a Halloween show, and then there was this guillotine for a doll, and they cut the doll's head off and splattered tomato sauce all over everyone. We were up front covered in sauce, and we were pretty not into it. And later, Jeff was like, no, your fun is not my fun. Stop throwing your fun all over me, end of quote. And since then, anytime there has been some bullshit, unwanted audience participation, we have said, no, your fun is not my fun. Wow, we sound like pains in the ass now that I'm writing this out. See, that's the thing about unfun people is we really are fun. We just have our own ideas. And we don't push it on others. We go about our lives. And then someone will tell us or force their fun on us and we have to decline. And then because those people are so limited in their thinking that only there's their fun, then you suddenly have to defend your fun. And then that makes you not fun. Sort of like when I had to do this dumb interview for this Montreal magazine. And this guy was like, let's talk about being a woman in comedy. I'm like, let's not, because I don't know what that means, a woman in comedy. I'm just a comedian. I've never been a dog in comedy or a lizard or a robot or a man or a man child or a predator. So whatever I am is just a comedian. I'm a woman in comedy. But what about, I'm also a Virgo in comedy, or someone who's 5'5 in comedy? Like, what kind of dumb question is that? How does it feel to be a woman? I don't fucking know. What do I have to compare it to? I know what one thing that sucks about it is you ask me that question and then I have to answer it in an interview and I come off not funny and then you misquote me in your little National Post article and I sound like a fucking bitter person. Great ending to the podcast, Jen. Great intro. Stooges' first album, 1969. John, I know that. Right. John, I hate you. New York Dolls, Looking for a Kiss. I knew it after I said pills, John. You don't have to correct me. I know I said email me last week. It's a joke. All right, people. I don't know what that dead air was about. I was looking around. I know I had something important to say. There's more to get to, and some people I know, I told them I'd read their email this week, but I just didn't get to it. Oh, can I just say one thing? Europeans, in general, when you're an American, Europeans seem very, like, sophisticated. There was all these books, French women don't get fat, and they eat all the cheese and coffee they want, and they smoke, and no one gets cancer, and, you know, British people are so intelligent, and their humor is a cut above the rest, and, oh my God, everyone is so chill and socialist in Sweden, and then everyone's smoking pot in Amsterdam, but they're cool about it. You know, everyone seems so much more progressive and smarter and just better than us, right? And I do kind of believe that in a way when I sit in America and think about, or when I go to their country, when I've been in Paris and London and Australia, and I think, my God, it's like the best parts of America with all the dumb people. So, but when I'm in a hotel and I see like German tourists or any tourists and I see fanny packs and like people who actually use the indoor pool at a hotel with their weird skinny bodies, like wearing like jean shorts in the pool, or just like people who stop in doorways and read maps. I'm like, you're just as dumb as we are. Like, there's a weird lack of sophistication that somehow a European tourist has. Like, you would think, like, the scarf, the beret, the striped shirt, the loose fitting pants, that all comes off. And they're just like, it's time for fanny pack jean shorts and like a Croc Teva sneaker combination that you have never seen. They only sell it in Europe. I don't know what happens to you Europeans, but somewhere over the ocean on the flight over, you transform into really weird people that make me uncomfortable. You remind me of like when you'd go to your friend's house and for some reason one of her parents made you uncomfortable and you're just like, ugh, that's what you are. You're like a weird parent of your friend Katie from third grade. So stop coming here, Europeans, if you're going to ruin my image of you. Okay, well, I guess that's that. I'll read more emails next week. I'll have a better idea of what I'm talking about next week, or maybe I won't. My good friend from childhood is coming to stay, and that's, I'm a little distracted because I'm getting ready for her visit. I have things to do. She has three kids, and she said, I've never been to California, and I want to take you. I've known her since I'm six. She said, I want to take you up on your child freeness and come stay with you. And I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing that could happen. So we're going to spend 4 days together. I'm going to take her all around California. I bet there'll be some fun stories from that. Maybe next week, my episode will be old friends. I'm sorry I got mad at the beginning. I hope you guys understand how annoying it is when someone watches something you do, doesn't get it, and then tells the world that you did something wrong. Or if you could try to relate to that, it really bothers me. I'm over it now. I got to yell and scream, and maybe you guys can hold some of my frustration for me. But mostly I just want Steve Bennett to get his shit together. Anyway, if you like this podcast, it always looks kind of cool when it's in the top 100 on iTunes. And the way you can help me do that is give it 5 stars and write a review. But you can write fuck Steve Bennett as your review if you want, or F Steve Bennett or frig Steve Bennett. That could be the review this week. And tell your friends and go to my website, jenkirkman.com. This will always be free. There is no advertising. But if you want to buy my book, you will love it. It is not hateful about children. There's a lot of funny stories. It's called I Can Barely Take Care of Myself. It's available on Amazon. It's also an audiobook that you can get on Amazon or tantor.com, T-A-N-T-O-R. Every single piece of this information is on my website. You can buy my old comedy albums if you're like, I just found out about you. Those are available on my website. That's a great way to support me in the independent labels. Okay, Simon & Schuster's on an independent label, but it helps me get another book if you buy this one because they'll be like, hey, she can sell books. But if you want me to, you know, go work at a frozen yogurt shop, I will. All right, that's it. I love you guys. Until next week, have fun.